with your permission, Lord. As we now enter into a time of experiencing for ourselves a taste of that which has come to pass 100 years ago, I want to set the stage for us by first of all distinguishing what is the difference between the experience of an apparition and the experience of mysticism. Because while both realms are channels that God has designed through which heaven comes to speak to us as human beings on earth, there are some fundamental differences that we need to be aware of so that we can gain an even deeper appreciation behind the incredible gift that has been bestowed to humankind in the apparitions of the Angel of Peace and of Our Lady of Fatima. Mysticism is an experience whereby the human soul finds itself deeply connected with the union of the divine. And those who experience this great grace, they have paid their dues in the spiritual life. For years on end, they've been seeking to make advancements and growing closer to God by means of prayer and living the Christian life. And so mysticism is a gift that God infuses on a supernatural level, brings them into an area of contemplative prayer that goes far beyond the ordinary means of regular prayer lives or regular Christian life. Just to give you an example, by far the most profound doctor of the church when it comes to theological writings and insights was Thomas Aquinas. By the time he was almost 50 years of age, he composed well over 100 works, commentaries on the scriptures, collections of patristic commentaries, sermons, philosophical treatises, and then let's not forget, a couple of summas, his most famous being the Summa Theologica. And those who were closest to Thomas during his days knew that this man worked continually and at a furious pace. He would write the most profound knowledge that seemed to kind of just flow through his mind like water cascades from the mountaintops. And then it happened. Lying on his deathbed, by now he's dictating his works to a secretary who's writing everything that's coming through his mind. And then something happened to him that was so profound, he stopped dictating. And so his writer pressed him, "Why are you going silent? Why don't you speak anymore?" He responded with this answer: "I adjure you by the living Almighty God, and by the faith you have in our order, and by charity, that you strictly promise me you will never reveal in my lifetime what I tell you. Everything I have ever written seems like straw to me compared to all the things that I have seen and has been revealed to me." That's a mystical experience. Apparitions, on the other hand, fall into another category. An incredible gift granted by God for a much greater purpose than one single individual. An authentic apparition gives no hard line proof concerning the sanctity of the one who receives it, although history shows that God will usually choose simple, humble Christians, and oftentimes they are children that are ready and willing to accept his will and follow through with it. Apparitions are understood as being an external vision that somehow grants the visionary this access to experiencing the presence of heaven in a manifestation right before them. And they experience this through the human senses, through sight, hearing, touching, smelling. And in a case of what transpired 100 years ago in Fatima, it's clear even today that something even more profound than just an intellectual vision took place. Our Blessed Mother's apparition to those three children was an external apparition that was also accompanied by indications of the presence of the Mother of God. And so powerful was her presence in that space and place that even to this day, many pilgrims feel as though they continue to experience her presence there. In other words, Mary, the Mother of God, who 2,000 years ago or so was assumed into heaven with her body and soul, now shares in the glory of the resurrection with her Son. 100 years ago, she was sent to earth to deliver a message to humankind. And while it would take the church nearly 100 years to even begin to understand the message of Fatima, we have to just stop and appreciate the fact that back in 1917, with World War I flooding the judgment seat of heaven with souls long before their time of dead soldiers and civilians, over 38 million people died during that war. That's 38 times every man, woman, and child in this city. And that's when God opted to intervene with the natural flow of human history and allowed for the miraculous events of Fatima to unfold. I mean, even before we start going through what took place, just that fact alone should call us into a time of prayer and reflection. But for Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, it was just another spring day. Like any normal child of today, they were just grateful for the chance of being able to go outside and play with the sheep. And halfway through the morning, there started to drizzle some rain, and they figured, well, we better climb up the hill, find some shelter behind one of those rocks. They spent the rest of the day in that place. And by lunchtime, sun started to shine, and so they had some food, and afterwards they prayed the rosary. I mean, we can stop right there, because as far as I'm concerned, that's a miracle in and of itself. These are three children with no adult supervision below the age of 10 who, following their lunch, decided, hey, let's pray the rosary. Just that fact alone puts those children in an entire different realm than any three children in North America, if not all first world continents on this planet in the year 2017. Afterwards, they start to play with the little pebbles. And suddenly this strong wind kicks up, which they thought was strange because it's a calm day. So they looked up to see what was happening, and they saw in the distance above the trees this light, a light that was whiter than snow. The shape of this young man stood there, transparent, as brilliant as crystal in the rays of the sun. And the young man started approaching them, and by now they were completely captivated by this apparition. "Do not be afraid. I am the angel of peace. Pray with me." The angel then knelt down and put his forehead to the ground. Inspired by this supernatural impulse, all three of the little kids did the same thing. And they started to repeat the words they heard the angel pray. "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." And after repeating that prayer three times, the angel rose to his feet and said to the children, "Pray in this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are ready to listen to you." Those words spoken by the angel of peace to those three children 100 years ago, they are not words locked up in the past, meant for people of 1916, because whenever hosts of heaven manifest themselves on earth, their presence crosses the effects of history and all the limitations of time. And so the words spoken by the angel of peace are addressed to each and every single human being on earth today. And they're applicable to us throughout the course of our entire lives. "Pray in this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are ready to listen to you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." Later on in her years, Sister Lucia spoke of this lingering effect that just that one apparition from the angel of peace had upon them as children. He left us in this atmosphere of the supernatural that was so intense that we were for a long time unaware of our own existence. His words that sank so deep into our minds that we've never forgotten them. Ever after, we would spend long periods on our knees repeating them, sometimes until we fell down, exhausted. A few months went by. Then it happened, summer of 1916, three kids playing in the heat of the day, same place. The angel appears once again. This time, the angel begins by chastising the children for their lack of spiritual seriousness. I mean, imagine that. "What are you doing? You must pray. Pray, the hearts of Jesus and Mary have merciful designs for you. You must offer your prayers and your sacrifices to God, the Most High." "But how are we to sacrifice?" asked Lucia. "In every way, you can offer sacrifice to God in reparation for the sins by which he is offended, and in supplication for sinners, In this way, you'll bring peace to our country. For I am its guardian angel, the angel of Portugal. And above all, bear and accept with patience the sufferings God will send you. Lucia tells us that the angel's words sank deeply into our souls like a gleaming torch, showing us who God is, what is his love for us, and how he wants us to love him too. The value of sacrifice and how it pleases him, how he receives it for the conversion of sinners. And that's why from that moment, we began to offer him whatever mortified us. Another few months of regular life passed by for the children, but by then they're now being driven by this inner impulse of offering up every sacrifice they could, every little mortification, coupled with praying the prayer of the angel, seeking to make reparation for the sins of humanity. Children found themselves once again playing, tending the sheep. Either it was late September or October of 1916. They can't really recall exactly when. They were kneeling there, praying the prayer of the angel, and they saw once again the shining light. They lifted up their heads and saw the following. The angel held a chalice in his left hand, and in the air there was a host suspended over it. Drops of blood were falling into the chalice. And the angel left the chalice and the host suspended in the air and knelt down beside the three children and taught them the following prayer. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences by which he is offended. And by the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners. He had them pray that prayer three times, after which he rose, ascended towards the chalice and the host, and he gave the host to Lucia to consume. Jacinta and Francisco drank the contents of the chalice. The angel said to them, "Eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ," terribly outraged by the ingratitude of men. Offer reparation for their sakes and console God. Afterwards, the angel bowed back down upon the ground, repeated the aforementioned prayer three more times, and then disappeared. Overwhelmed with this supernatural atmosphere, the children sank to their knees and prayed and prayed and prayed. Now, it had been nearly 6 months of time. They'd been visited by an angel from heaven three times during those 6 months. it's an angel that catechized them in prayer, taught them the importance of offering sacrifice to God, instructed them on the benefits of making reparation through their sufferings. They learnt the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist from an angel, reminding them of the food that comes to us from heaven, this incredible gift for all hungering souls. And so it's in this way that the children of Fatima were schooled in preparation for that which was still to come. Time spent in the school of Mary, a visitation from the Queen of Heaven herself, the new Eve, the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother. Just as the children spent nearly 6 months in that classroom with an angel, being prepared for that which was to follow, six apparitions to all three children, beginning on the 13th of every month from May of 1917 onwards, and then a seventh and final apparition in 1920 to Sister Lucia alone. Just like these children, they were prepared by the angel in the art of prayer, of sacrifice, of suffering, before receiving the messages from Our Lady of Fatima. In the same way, we are called to pray, to sacrifice, to suffer in reparation for the sins of humanity and for the salvation of souls. So please, please take with you the prayer of the angel card that we've made available in this conference. Pray these prayers every day. As I said before, when heaven visits earth, there is no such thing as time. There is no more history. There is simply the eternal moment of now. Now. And our blessed Lord, according to the angel of peace, is terribly outraged by the ingratitude of men. He thirsts for our love, for our obedience, and for our prayers from the heart. I mean, the angel of peace was sent to earth to wake up believers out of what's become this routine spirituality, this idea that, yeah, I go to church on Sundays, do what I got to do, and then I get back home and I plug into the modern day god of sports, the idol of idols in our age. This idea that, yeah, we'll get the kids baptized right away, probably soon after their birth, then I'll keep grandma from lecturing us for the next 10 years or so. And it looks good on the surface, but as is evident in the public square, faith is dead in many people's hearts. Faith is dead in many people's hearts. The angel of peace is calling us to pray. Get on the sacrifices to sacrifice ourselves in order to reveal Christ's truth, His mercy, His love that's available to us. We have to strive. And it's hard, I know, but we must strive to live a true spirituality. Because only those who are pure, those who are humble, those who are filled with love, sustain the world. It was almost 8 months since the last time they'd been visited by the Angel of Peace. By now, Lucia, she's 10 years of age, Francisco's 9, and Jacinta, she just turned 7. And they just keep on doing what the angel taught them. They're praying, they're sacrificing, offering whatever they can through their little hearts for Jesus. And then they found themselves entering the School of Mary, May 13th, 1917. Tomorrow, 100 years ago to the day. Once again, there they were. I mean, they're looking after the sheep. They just finished lunch. What do? They pray the rosary again. And then they're startled by what they said was like lightning flashing across the sky, but it was a clear sky. Nevertheless, they thought, hey, maybe that's a sign it's going to rain, so we should go find some shelter. I gathered the sheep and started making their way, and suddenly they saw another flash of lightning by this oak tree that they happened to be walking by. And there, a lady dressed in white, shining, brighter than the sun, emanating these rays of clear and intense light, like crystal goblets filled with pure water when the fire of the sun pierces through it. I just stood there, mesmerized, as the lady in white was 4 to 5 feet in front of them. Day one. The first lesson in the School of Mary. Please don't be afraid. I'm not going to harm you. Where are you from? Asked Lucia. I come from heaven. The white lady was wearing a pure white mantle, edged with gold, fell all the way down through her feet. The beads of the rosary she held in her hands shone like the stars in the sky. The crucifix, they say, was the most radiant gem of them all. And what do you want of me? I want you to return here on the 13th of each month for the next 6 months, and at the very same hour. Later I shall tell you who I am and what it is that I most desire, and I shall return here yet a 7th time. Will I go to heaven? Yes, you will. And Jacinta? She will go also. And Francisco. Francisco too, my dear. But he will first have many rosaries to say. And for a few moments, the white lady looked towards Francisco with compassion, tinged with a little bit of sadness. And then Lucia remembered one of her friends that had died. Is Maria Neves in heaven? Yes, she is. And Amelia? She's in purgatory. Will you offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he sends you in atonement for all the sins that offend him and for the conversion of sinners. Oh, we will! We will! Then you will have a great deal to suffer. But the grace of God will be with you and will strengthen you. And as the white lady pronounced those words, she opened up her hands, and the children were bathed in heavenly light, just poured out from her hands into them. And in their hearts and in their souls, they knew that this light was the light of God. They could feel themselves being embraced by it. And so through that impulse, they fell down on their knees and started to pray within their hearts. Oh, Holy Trinity, we adore you. My God, I love you in the Blessed Sacrament. The white lady spoke again. Say the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and an end to the war. She then began rising towards the east till she disappeared in this immense distance. End of the first class. Now, as it is with kids, when they go to school and they come home after a long day, what do? They tell mom and dad everything that happens at school. Out of the three kids, 7-year-old Jacinta couldn't help herself. So she told mom everything that had just happened. Thus began a long suffering persecution for all three of those children poured out upon them by those who loved them the most. Lucia suffered greatly at the level of unbelief that was poured out towards her by her own mother. And many of us might be left wondering, well, why? I mean, why these kids? Lord, you put them through so much, through the hands of their family, the hands of the villagers, the hands of the church. It's heaven's plan being fulfilled. What did the white lady say again? Oh, yeah. You will have a great deal to suffer, but the grace of God will be with you and will strengthen you. The sufferings and the persecutions began immediately that day. And so did the outpouring of God's grace to sustain them through it. The next scheduled class at the School of Mary was set for June 13th. The kids are so anxious. They're waiting. Time for another lesson from heaven with the white lady. But by now, word's getting around. Some of the local folks getting curious. And so a few people had assembled with the kids where they said this apparition would take place by the oak tree. When the kids gathered together, they started to pray the rosary, and afterwards the children saw once again this reflection of light, and the white lady was back near the oak tree, just like last month. Lucia again is first to speak. Please tell me, madam, what is it that you want of me? I want you to come here on the 13th of next month. I want you to continue saying the rosary every day. And after each one of the mysteries, my children, I want you to pray in this way. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fire of hell. Take all souls to heaven, especially those who are most in need. I want you to learn to read and write, and later I will tell you what else I want of you. Well, will you take us to heaven? Yes. I shall take Jacinta and Francisco soon, but you will remain a little longer, since Jesus wishes you to make me known and loved on earth. He wishes also for you to establish devotion in the world to my Immaculate Heart. Must I remain in the world alone? Not alone, my child, and you must not be sad. I will be with you always, and my Immaculate Heart will be your comfort and the way which will lead you to God. And after saying those last words, she opened up her hands once again and transmitted to the children the reflection of that same intense light that exists only in heaven. And they found themselves just submerged in God. But they saw in the palm of the white lady's hand a heart. And it was encircled with thorns embedding, piercing it. And they understood that's the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so offended by the sins of mankind, craving reparation. This apparition concluded in the same way as the first. The white lady going off towards the east, disappearing in this immensity of heaven. End of the second class. Now, in tomorrow's conference, we're going to take in the third lecture from the School of Mary. And in order to prepare ourselves for that which is about to be revealed, I just want to pull together some threads here of everything we've learned so far from the Angel of Peace and the two lectures from the Lady in White. But before I do, I invite all of you to just step back out of everything we've heard so far and just call to mind everything you know about Jesus. All of his parables, his teachings, his miracles, his life, his resurrection. And combine that with everything you believe just automatically happens when someone dies. And then hold those thoughts at the forefront of your mind and then follow me with this. This is what I truly believe a modern day Christian would guess, that if heaven wanted to send us a message, this is what the message would be like from heaven. So here's my take on the average believer's idea of what God wants to say to us today. Knowing what I know about God and his son Jesus, the Good Shepherd, if heaven had a message to give to the world, it would be that everything's going to be all right. I sent my son to save the world, and he has conquered death. Therefore, everybody goes to heaven. Because God is love. No parent would ever punish a child for long. God's love for us is greater than any parent's for their child. So in the same way, he'd never punish us. Everything is going to be fine. I'd say the majority of believers, I'm not talking about atheists and non-believers, the majority of believers on earth live out their lives with this idea that this is the defining moment of what Christian faith is all about. Everything can be fine. Once saved, I'm always saved. If heaven has a message for us, this is what it's going to be. So let's see if this popular worldview matches up with the very subtle hints so far that have come to us through the Angel of Peace and two classrooms with the School of Mary about the state of that which is the reality of the times in which we live and the reality that awaits many souls in the afterlife. Lesson from class number one with the Angel of Peace. Pray in this way. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I ask pardon for those who do not believe, who do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Lesson from class number two with the Angel of Peace. You must pray. Pray in every way you can and offer sacrifice to God in reparation for the sins by which he is offended. In supplication for sinners. Lesson from class number three with the Angel of Peace. Eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, terribly outraged by the ingratitude of men. Offer reparation for their sakes and console God. Lesson from class number one with the White Lady. Will you offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he sends you in atonement for all the sins that offend him and for the conversion of sinners? Say the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and an end to the war. Lesson from class number two with the White Lady. I want you to continue praying the rosary every day. And after each one of the mysteries, my children, I want you to pray in this way. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fire of hell. Take all souls to heaven, especially those who are most in need. There's a theme that has been developing here. And it's a theme that's very different from the average believer's take on what people assume just automatically happens when we breathe out our last breath. And remember, because this is a visitation from heaven, every word, every description of events, of things that are to come, transcend time while being made present in every time and in every place. These words are for us today, as they were for people of the world 100 years ago, and as they will be for all of humanity until the end of time. See you tomorrow at the School of Mary.